Tales from the Long Box Podcast. This is episode 231. Spotlight on Dynamite Comics, Ian Fleming's James Bond, number one.
Yes, thank you. All right. I have to admit, I didn't like Spectre, just so you know.
I haven't seen it, but we'll have to see. Anyway, my name is Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
I'm Murray Fox.
Man.
I'm tired. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I am too. I'm about half asleep here, but hey, what the hell?
I need a nap. Oh, I just woke up from a nap. That's why I'm tired.
Oh, okay. I need a nap too.
I'll be going to bed soon. Jeepers.
Is it that late?
Jeepers.
Jeez, man. I thought I was old.
You people old. With your clocks and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Something.
It's the dark. It's dark.
Man.
It's so dark.
I'm full of pizza. Pardon me.
I had my first going to work and coming home in the dark day a couple days ago. That sucked.
Oh, that does suck. Tell me about it.
I was not happy about that.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't be either.
Woke up in the dark. I barely saw daylight that day. It was like living in like that part of the world where the sun never comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that how it is in Canada?
Oh, Lord, that's funny.
It is right now. Blah, dark.
Well, I'm in Arizona, so we're not supposed to have shit like that. This is the sunshine state. That's Florida. I don't know. We're Valley of the Sun. That's it. Valley of the Sun.
Oh, that sounds heavenly. Valley of the Sun.
Yeah.
It's great, except when it's 115 for 5 straight days.
Oh my gosh, that sounds heavenly.
Sounds like a large electric bill is what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a pool, so it's. And even if we did, we'd pay that bill for. And you may not have heard of one of these, a water cooler. A pool.
Shut up! You guys have to cool your pools.
Well, it's Arizona, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They have a lot of the pool heaters now in Arizona sold here come equipped with cooler as well.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Sitting out there in the sun, it probably gets hot.
Do you want to swim in 20,000 gallons of piss temperature water?
Yes.
Well, you are Yeek. In the wrong place then, my friend. You were designed for
cooling the water. That's insane.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of it until you just said it. But yeah, that actually makes sense to me. Not surprised.
I think about Marie jumping into like 90 plus degree temperature water.
I imagine they have to do the same thing in where I used to live in Mississippi too.
Yeah, just not for as long. People invest in those. And if we were planning on building a pool next year, we're not going to, but we were going to, and that was going to be one of the top three expenses was something to cool the water down.
Yeah.
Just hop in with a nice cold frosty drink.
Wouldn't it get full of gross water?
Oh, you drop an ice cube on you. You put an ice cube in the water. Swim around a little. Float around a little. Oh,
yeah.
Sounds I'd be heavenly.
Afraid, I'd be afraid of pulling a Titanic and just crash.
Oh, I was born in the wrong country.
No. Just the wrong part of the continent. You would have been great down in the southern part. But trust me, you're in the right country when it comes to, like, 50% of the things going on out there.
Oh, I suppose Canada needs to take over a small tropical island.
Okay. Sure, why not?
Are there no like tropical areas in Canada in the whole freaking country?
No.
No, I live in the southernmost part of it.
Unless you set something on fire and it's just mildly warm.
No, I mean, our summers are beautiful. We have nice hot summers, but
yeah, it gets up to a balmy 60 degrees, I bet, right?
12 months. It does not.
I'm sorry.
What is it, 90? I think 90 is something you understand, mm-hmm. but that doesn't last 12 months.
Oh, I think that's what it is. The grass is
holy
always greener for you.
Crap.
It's
5, 6, 7,
you're like me. I think you would prefer
9,
like
10,
Southern California
11,
weather. It's
12.
It's a good mix.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Someday Canada will
son of a
annex California.
Biscuits.
They can afford it right about now. So
I just looked up. There's
just got to worry about that those pesky little things in Washington and Oregon that come between you guys. But you might be able to get Oregon cheap as well.
Well, yeah. If you all you got to do is put a bird refuge real close to the border, and you'll get a nice militia with no snacks come and visit you. Bastards. It's
pelting and trapping up there. So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see.
Weathercast brought to you.
Where were we? Let's see. Oh yeah, James Bond.
Yes.
You mean the Stormtrooper movie?
Yeah. There you go. That's one of my favorite ones.
Did you finally see Force Awakens?
I haven't seen it.
My God, man! What have you been doing?
Working. Ugh.
Jeez.
I know.
Well, if it helps get you there, James Bond is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. Yes.
Gotcha.
Another one of my favorites.
He has a pivotal role in Force.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Excellent.
Okay, James Bond. This was I checked this out. I've never read a James Bond comic before that I can recall, at least. But I checked this out because it's Warren Ellis. Dynamite got the license, so it's Warren Ellis and what the hell is that other guy's name?
Jason Masters.
Yes, that works. There are a record 18 different variants of this. I looked on the main on Comic Book DB. There's only been 3 issues out, but number of issues catalog for the title is 33. That's a lot of freaking variants, man.
And I haven't read a James Bond comic since the John Byrne one from whenever, what was that, the late 80s or early 90s?
Yeah. I think I vaguely remember that one. But yeah, this isn't based on a movie or anything. It's more of the classic character. Though I don't know why it should be, but well, I guess we'll get to it. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I can do. I picked it, so I can do it if you want. I haven't done one in a while. I just need some more caffeine.
Oh boy, the first issue won't take long.
No, because there's not any dialogue in it, barely at all. So here we go, James Bond. Oh, excuse me, Ian Fleming's James Bond, and the title, I guess this run story arc is called Vargr, V-A-R-G-R, and we have a nice in shadow James Bond, and they did not make him look like Daniel Craig at all. So okay, we're in Helsinki, and looks like gas is somewhat reasonable there. We see a empty street, snow's going down. It's obviously late at night. There's just nobody out there. There's a few lights on in the buildings, and you see this guy running.
And it's about 6 pages.
Yeah, well, no. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that. He's running, and you see he's bald with a beard, and you get, you know, he jumps over cars, and you kind of get an idea. He's got the pierced bottom lip. He's got a cross tattooed on his forehead, and earring, one of those hoop earrings where, you know, somebody uses a punch hole to put the in there and left the hole.
A gauge.
Yes, a gauge. Is that what they call those? Okay, so he's at a construction site, and he gets a gun out, and you see rebar and everything else, and he puts his hood on because, you know, he's bald and his head's getting cold because it's snowing outside. And he's just about to shoot, and then, bam, somebody shoots at him. It doesn't have that sound effect. You're supposed to do that in your head, so I did it for you. So, yeah, they're at the construction site, and he's shooting up at something, and here, you know, bang, and you kind of see a picture of a cement truck, and if you look real close, you see some, like a blur darting behind it, legs, which we assume, we don't really know who it is at this point. But you see the guy's taking off, and then it's the first real brutal thing. You see the guy, he gets hit with a cement cinder block in the back, knocks him down. That's got to hurt. I'm sorry, but that's really got to hurt. So anyway, he gets up somehow, and he's got a wonderful tattoo of a spider on the right side of his head. So he's obviously some kind of thug. Pardon me. Ooh, pizza.
Kalima.
Ooh, pardon me. Pizza's coming back. So, I ate it too fast. So, he's kind of trying to get away. He gets up where there's some snow, and he sees a shovel. He picks it up, takes a swing, barely misses a shadowed figure. He looks like you really can't really tell who he is. So he keeps swinging, and he swings again, and he misses, hits the ground. He comes back. By this time, the guy he's fighting has come up with a shovel of his own, and he takes a swing, and you kind of see this guy. He's kind of like in a suit, got the nice handkerchief in his pocket, but it, you know, covers his eyes. You can't really see.
He's very dapper.
Very dapper looking, yes. So then that guy, Mr. Dapper, he takes a swing, and it gets blocked by the biker guy. That's what I'm going to call him. So then you see a far out, you know, expanded shot where they're going up the side of a mound of snow-covered something, probably gravel for the construction site. You get another swing, and it looks like Mr. Dapper dodges it again. Another swing, and he puts it up, and it kind of takes a knock out of the handle. And he strikes back, and laces down, plunges down the shovel, and pretty much looks like he cuts off the tip of his foot, or at least severs it quite badly. Yes, and
not
so,
his foot.
Yeah.
He put it down the foot. Now he's onto his fingers.
Yes, he's now to the foot. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Missed a panel.
So, you know, he freaks out, throws it at him. That kind of throws the guy back. As he's falling with his foot dangling from, you know, it went through the shoe and into the feet, and there's blood everywhere. He's sliding backwards. He's pulling the gun out of his drawers.
Another gun.
Yeah, another gun. Because, you know, when you're like that, you carry more than one. And as he's sliding backwards with the blood spurting from his foot, he starts to take aim at the dapper stranger. And then you see a panel to the right that he's a big bag of chains. Gets slammed into his chest. That's gotta hurt. So then you see the dapper man, he's jumping from a high with that shovel, and I guess when he slices the shovel, you see his fingers go away. Fingers flying, kind of like at the first joint, I would say. Not the entire finger. Right where the finger, you know, well, anyway. Gun goes flying, very nice and bloody. So the guy's there. You know, and the biker guy, he's crawling now. He's bleeding profusely from several places. Mr. Dapper has got the bloodied shovel on his shoulder. He throws it down as the guy's trying to crawl away. He's trying to get a piece of rebar, I believe that's what you call it, the steel reinforcement they put in concrete. And he's almost there. And he just kind of, I don't know why he stops. He turns around because, you know, he's bleeding pretty bad. He falls on his back and he goes, "Who are you?" And the guy's, you can't really see his face again. It's kind of covered. You murdered a colleague of mine 2 weeks ago in cold blood for no other reason than you love killing. And he's like, who? He had a lot of different names depending on where he in the world he was. There was only one that matters. You killed 008. And then you see his face and he's pointing a gun down at the guy. It's like the perspective of the biker guy. And I'm 007. And he shoots him in right in the head, and you see his bloodied body. In typical Warren Ellis style, lots of blood. Yeah, so he's dead. And then you see Varger. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, you're right. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
That's like the start of the movie. There's always somebody that gets shot, you know. Okay, so I'm just trying to make it, there we go, as realistic as we can here. Okay, so then you, we go off to London in a place called Brixton, which no idea where that's at. But you got a bunch of, I don't know, they kind of shaved heads and...
It's in London.
Yes, oh, okay, it's London, all right. They're in some old beat-up building. It looks like they're band people. You know how those crazy musicians are.
Crazy.
Crazy. Anyway, we got two talking, a guy and a girl. They're says it's just Colt Green, isn't it? Guy's talking to the girl, talking about the drugs they got, and he's saying it's pure, like nature, blah blah. So they're getting ready to use this stuff. And he shows this outside of the building, and it says Old England on it. Somebody spray painted it. And he's telling her it's from Europe. Met a bloke at our gig last week. That's how you know they're from England, because he said bloke. Also the yellow letters that was on there too, by the way. But anyway, it's clean. It's clean, you know. You don't wake up and everything hurts like the crap we normally get around here. And then, what about Cal though? He hasn't come out of his pit all day. Cal's a lightweight. Let me sort you right out. So anyway, I guess this guy, Cal, he's in his room, and he's got a bunch of Union Jacks around, and he's playing, trying to play his guitar, and his hand's really screwed up. And no idea. And there's, like, pieces of glass, it looks like, on his bed, but I'm not sure. So it's like almost like he did that to himself. And he's talking and says, I don't even know if you're really there. I'm starting to think this stuff isn't natural. And I don't know who he's talking to. But, you know, then we go off to Vauxhall Cross, which is anybody that knows anything knows that's MI6 headquarters. Now, for those that you might not know, the FBI and the CIA are branches of our country's, you know, security or whatever you want to call it. FBI only works inside the United States. CIA is forbidden to work within the United States, quote-unquote, forbidden. And CIA, they do all their stuff outside of our country. Well, MI5 is the equivalent to the FBI in England, and MI6 is the CIA equivalent. So, there you go.
Really? I had no idea.
Yes, yes. I only know that because I watched the MI5 series for a while. Did not
gotcha.
So yes, MI6 is the England's equivalent to the CIA, which is why you always see Bond in the movies always working with CIA people. Felix Unger being one. So okay, we walk in. You see, the next panel. What you see? Bond's walking into MI6 headquarters. You see this lady's working on her desk, and she's cleaning the gun. Got the bullets out. Yeah, it's Money Penny. You find out. He walks in. Good morning, James. Money Penny. That's very dainty. I'm not going to try to do the accent. I can't do it, so I'm just not going to try. It's very daintily secretarial of you. I remember you were charming. How was Helsinki? Cold, wet, and full of fins. Should you be doing that on your desk? What would you rather I be doing on my desk? I remember when you were charming. Talking to her. M's expecting you, James. Go right in.
So that looks like the Money Penny from the current
yes.
Bond series.
So the next page is what kind of surprised me is the fact that they make M, I don't know why, but that he's a black guy. But, you know, they don't have that racial issue in England, so I guess that makes sense.
It's not Ralph Fiennes. Where's Ralph Fiennes?
I know. That's well, they didn't make this anything like the movies. I mean, it's completely from what I've read so far. I haven't read the other two, but I've looked through them. So anyway, he walks in and says, "Good morning, sir. Sit down, 007. So you see him sitting down, and he's sitting there, and he's kind of looking at this folder full of stuff like you do when you go into the principal's office and, or your boss's office in your trouble, and when you, you know, accidentally hit send all to that dirty email. Not that it, I would know anything about that. And so he says, it's the last panel, he says, after Bond checks his watch, "Isn't it strange that the service struggles to obtain an efficient performance from you on any number of engagements, but that's a straightforward revenge mission sees you in and out in 19 hours. And Bond says, "It was a simple operation, sir. Killing a man is simple. Simple as in lack of complexity. No tradecraft required. All I had to do was locate the actor in question and eliminate him." M says, "Yes, well, it's not gone unnoticed. People in high places are suggesting I retire the 00 section entirely." And Bond says, "Yeah, I know. And the conducting of foreign policy still requires access to a small box of blunt instruments. You don't get to retire to a casino quite yet, Bond." So that people that don't know Bond history, there was a movie that had David Niven in it called, I believe that was the first Casino Royale, and that's what it was actually about, Bond retiring and living in a casino.
I did not know that. I've seen that movie a total of once.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Bond, yeah.
Well, I know it was supposed to be Bond, but I didn't realize that that was his retirement party.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he had retired at that point. I think that's what it was originally written. I could be wrong about that, but it seems like I read that somewhere. Anyway.
This is an education.
I'm kind of a Bond fan. Let me tell you the history a little bit. The movie Thunderball was my mom and dad's first date. So as I was growing up, this was the Bond movies was always a big part of my family. So I always watched all those movies when I was a kid with my parents. So it's like it's kind of like a family thing, kind of like Batman, in fact. So anyway, that's why I know a little bit about that. Let's see. Here we go. Oh yes, and he says, Bond says, "Sir, Bill Tanner will be commencing a search for a new 008 later today. In the meantime, you'll be taking 008's caseload." And he's like, "But your own caseload is hardly crippling, 007. And the most urgent case on 008 is another simple job. We have a small, quiet, and peculiar drug importer from we would like dissuaded from doing business in the United Kingdom before they became a major problem." "Peculiar in what way, sir?" Lab hasn't quite isolated, but something in the composition of their product is off. We're presuming it's a side effect of producing a synthetic in a small, perhaps mobile lab on the continent. The chemical signature does, however, make their product very easy to identify. We've already spoken to the cousins and your friend, cousins meaning the CIA. To the cousins and your friend Leader has an informant in his stable who has offered us leads and aid through the CIA. You're off to Berlin to see him. Tanner will brief you, but before you go to some appalling bar to pretend to work. You're to see the quartermaster. That's all. Off you go, 007. "Sir." "And leave Moneypenny alone. I consider her job to be much more important than yours." That's
quartermaster. Fine. Q. I get it now after all these years.
Yeah, you didn't know that's what that meant?
I had no idea. I just thought it was...
Yeah, it's just a... Just a nickname. And they make this guy, you see the next page, he looks like he's some old, hard ass from the military instead of that young kid from the last one.
Oh, he's more John Cleese than any of
Yeah, but with no sense of humor.
Right, right. Well,
now this
John
and
Cleese was a John Cleese was a cool Q, by the way.
I thought he was too. I'm sorry to see him go. And the first thing he says is, "You're Walter PP9, please, 007." He says, horrible gun. This is a gun for ladies, 007, and not very nice ladies at that. Yeah, that's been a kind of a joke in the movies off and on recently. Even that last one with Pierce Brosnan, they made a joke about that, gave him a better gun.
Better than the P99? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's a small gun, very small gun, probably in between a 38 and a 9mm. It doesn't pack very much punch. It's more for up-close, silent kind of stuff. I think even it was in Skyfall where he was up on the train and he was shooting at the guy. It wouldn't get through his body armor, and he ended up just throwing it at him. He looked at it in disgust and just threw it at him. Anyway, I'm geeking
that
out.
Skyfall, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've seen it a couple times. I actually have every single Bond movie on Blu-ray. I got the set. They had a 50th anniversary set that had all of them in it, except for the one that just came out, of course. Anyway.
You're looking for a nap, you watch Spectre.
Yeah. I heard it wasn't all that good. It came out about the time Dad was in the hospital, so we didn't get to see it. This morning, 007, MI6 was served with papers announcing an extension of the hard rule. Wait a minute. He was saying, take it away. Well, I don't care if you like it or not. It's mine. And then he says that, the hard rule. And this is kind of like the one with they have about the CIA. It's illegal for the CIA to operate within the United States borders. And anyway, Bond continues on. The hard rule says MI6 officers can't carry arms inside the United Kingdom. But you do. You and I both know that 00 section is exempt. And he says, until this morning. Some observe political mess. It'll blow over. But until then, your weapon and ammunition will be sent on via diplomatic pouch, and you'll draw arms on station. So they continue on. Whoa. I didn't mute everything. That's all right. Q continues. I couldn't interest you in a proper gun instead of that prostitute's shooting instrument.
Okay, then.
Yeah, they really don't like it. You could interest me in sending me on a mission. Oh, you could interest me in sending me on a mission with a bloody firearm. Now, 007. And he's showing up new ammunition. Oh, I'm going to sneeze here, I think. A variant on the G2R radically invasive projectile. The rounds are segmented and break up after piercing the skin. One entry point, 8 exit wounds. Extremely precise in the air. Yeah, that's nasty. Not enough energy to punch through armor, but even an off-target hit on flesh will render the enemy unable to respond. Lovely, if only if I had a gun to put them in. And get a proper holster, 007. That floppy chamomile, is that how you say that? Chamomile? I don't know how to say that.
Chamois.
That's it. That floppy chamois leather thing will kill you one day.
Shamwell?
Okay. It says a hard holster will spoil the line of my suit. Ha ha ha.
That's more of the Roger Moore Bond.
Yeah, I think so. He kind of acted foppish, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
That was probably my first. Well, that's the first Bond movie I actually ever saw in a movie theater was Moonraker. It's also the first movie my parents let me go by myself. By the way, see, I've got all these Bond memories in my head. Let's see. And so he's talking to some guy in the cafeteria, which seems incredibly odd for 007 to be eating in a cafeteria with his coworkers. I had to process that when I read it the first time. And so he's talking. And Moneypenny is there, sitting there, cleaning her gun. She's M's last line of defense in the event of a breach. Home security, not special operations. She's allowed.
He's sitting there bitching about having to give up his weapon.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him, really. Insane, sending a double officer of all people outside the country without a gun. And it doesn't even make sense. I'll be outside the country. Yes, James, but you have to travel through the country to get outside it. Oh, God, they're going to make me go through airport security like a peasant, plebe. I was going to say civilian. You'll be met at the airport by officers from Berlin Station who will take you straight to your beloved gun. It'll be fine. Bill Tanner, you sound like an exasperated nun at a convent school. Yeah, let's get that. Bill Tanner, I don't remember that character from the movies, but it might be closer to the books. That might be what they're getting from. Seems like I read an article by him, Ellis, talking about that. They're going to draw more from the books than the movies. Hold on, my phone's going off, and I got to find it. There we go. So, perfect bloody description of being chief of staff these days. Political strangers peeping over the walls to see if they can catch us getting dressed. Which is why... and he's eating something. I don't know what that is. It looks kind of hairy. But anyway, yes, yes, I'll obey the hard rule extent. Let me look at it. It looks like it's one of them spiders or something. Anyway, hard rule extension with a smile. What do we know about Felix's informant? And that's the Felix Unger that I mentioned earlier. He looks like he was in Casino Royale. That character was the one that staked him... Bond character for more money after he lost it all, playing the guy with the bloody tears.
Leitner's been in a lot of the movies. I remember he was.
Yeah.
He was. Timothy Dalton was must be his best man at a wedding.
Yes.
I can't remember which.
Oh God, I hated that one. That was so bad.
And by the way, Bill Tanner is the chief of staff for that section.
Yes, like. That's right.
Lately played by Rory Kinnear. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I had to know. I was kind of curious. It seemed...
No, that's fine. Let's see. This might actually be fun for you. It's Slavin Kerjak, the inventor, bionic stuff, the prosthetic hands and legs and so forth. Oh, yes, yeah, Serbian, richer than God. Kind of doesn't sound like anybody we know. And amazing genetic stuff, too. All the machinery of his. And he's just like, dot, dot, dot. I wonder if he employs nurses. And Tanner puts his hand on his face and says, oh, good God. All right, so now we go to an isolated lab, at least I assume it's isolated. And this guy with a big, muscly chest, he's got some kind of wire cap on his head with a bunch of things. Looks like something oh, crap, I can't remember the name. The old guy from Fringe would put on somebody's head and do terrible things to them. So somebody off the panel says, done. Mr. Masters continues to exhibit chronic chemical anhedonia. He cannot experience or process pleasure in any way. We have been discussing further therapies, perhaps combining oxycodone with a gene-edited serotonin transponder. We should also consider direct neurological intervention. And somebody off panel that we don't see their face. Not just yet. Soon, I promise. We have a little local trouble to take care of first. We may be able to deal with it immediately, but if not, you'll have to kill this man tomorrow, Mr. Masters. And showing a tablet with info on Bond. And a guy takes it, looks at it, and says, can I make it hurt, please? And that's it. Dun dun dun. Yep. And of course, Dynamite's digital contents after that, and it's basically uncolored artwork, usually what they give you. Kind of like Valiant does the same thing. So anyway, that's the first one, issue of, sorry, I can't help it. So what'd you guys think?
Yeah,
it was interesting.
It was wordy.
Wordy. Oh, that's funny.
You didn't see my finger quotes.
Oh, okay, air quotes.
That didn't come through. The microphone did it.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I should have known that was sarcasm.
Yeah. This is an audio call. I'm so used to at work we do video calls. So,
Yeah,
my
that's
bad.
true. God, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
So, I am interested in reading Aliens versus Vampirella. It's
Oh,
noted
good
down in
Lord,
preference in
yes.
the back.
What about the Batman and Ninja Turtles crossover they got going with IDW there? That sounds interesting, doesn't
Like the turtle.
it? Just an idea. I saw a picture on Facebook. Somebody had painted the turtles in each one of the Robin's outfits. I thought that
The
was pretty funny.
real Robin War.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and look, Grumpy Cat the comic book. Oh my frack.
Oh, well, yeah, man. Anything they can do to get that money. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about.
Irritating. Sorry.
Somewhat, yes. I have to agree. It is.
Back to the book in question.
Yes.
Honestly, it was okay, but it was not great.
What, the one we just read?
The one we just went through.
Yeah, it was all right. I agree. It wasn't great. That's why I haven't bought any more.
I was underwhelmed.
I actually paid for the first one.
Whenever I see the Varger, I keep thinking of Star Trek: The Motion Picture. So,
Funny. Murray, what'd you think?
spoilers for 25 years ago, but
Yeah, no
30 years
kidding.
ago or whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was
Meh.
well, like 10 pages of jibber jabber that could have been done in like
Yeah.
five panels,
Well, I
probably.
don't know if you've read much of Ellis's work, but him and his
Not enough.
brother, both, they're a slow burn, like kind of like Bendis is.
Yeah, but with Bendis and the slow burn, you get stuff to read. Like,
This is true.
I don't
His
mind a
Bendis
slow
dialogue.
burn if there's stuff to read, but this would have been like 10 seconds of an opening screenshot. Like if they were filming it, this would have taken a minute maybe. It was oh, so boring. And then the rest of the story was, I don't know, it was set up. So I want to see the gadgets. I want to see
Right. Well, and for
Hans's
$4,
laser
that's, I
ship.
mean.
I want to see explosions and car chases and I don't know. The second issue, what I've looked at it, like I've read half of it, seems to pick up a little bit. We get a little bit more regular
Good.
Bond stuff, but the first issue was yuck.
Yeah, I'll have
So wait a
to,
minute. I want to back up here, and I apologize, but
No.
Murray, you haven't read much Warren Ellis?
Mm-mm.
Planetary?
Nope.
Authority? Next Wave?
Nope,
Wow.
nope.
Huh.
You would Next Wave is totally your gig, but
Yeah, I actually read. I got a free copy of Planetary Number One off of there, off of Comixology, and I was surprised. It was really good.
it is. I
Trying to think
read
what
the whole series
else.
finally about 2 or 3 years ago. But Next Wave is like totally like the parody of every superhero comic at Marvel ever done.
Yep, pretty
Next
much.
Wave, I've heard very good things about. I should check it out.
You should. You
Yeah,
should. That's where
nothing.
they decide to put Fing Fang Foom in pants. So.
That would be fun.
That's funny.
Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah, this was not my bag. If we can avoid going over number two and three,
Oh, that's
I'm
fine.
okay with that.
I just thought it'd be something new, and it'd give me a reason to play James Bond music.
Something new is always good. Expanding horizons is always good.
Yeah, but yeah, I
Now,
agree. It's like when the next issue came out, I'm like, eh. I'll wait till it goes on sale, or well, just download it like I did end up doing.
there are
it might
400
make.
comics a month, so.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, nothing. Go ahead, Marie.
Oh, I was just gonna say it might make like for a good, like when the arc is finished, it might make for a good read that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But not so much issue by issue.
Yeah, he did Shadow for a while, and it was an interesting read. But he did a lot of history. I think he got his Rights to War story away from Or am I thinking Garth Ennis? No, it was Garth Ennis that did Shadow.
Garth Ennis has the war books.
Yeah, that's right. Never mind. I knew it was one of those Ennis boys.
Ellis's latest stuff was that pretty decent intro run to the last Moon Knight series that came out from Marvel. That
yeah.
was the last thing I... Which was like this, a lot of panels lacking dialogue.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And then the ones that did have dialogue were very, very detail oriented, like this one was as well.
Yeah.
It was an all or nothing, and like you guys kept saying with Bendis, at least, you know, when there's a ton of dialogue in a Bendis one, at least it's clever dialogue. Mm-hmm. Even if the story goes like one story beat forward over the whole 22 pages, at least I feel like I've been entertained in those 22 pages.
Yeah, that's true.
Comparing apples to apples, I suppose.
No, you're right.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Only Saturday.
Oh, man. Whew! Well, that's all I got, boys and girls.
I gotta say that I really like Casino Royale, and I like the next one that came out after Casino Royale, but Skyfall and Spectre have kind of slowed the franchise for me.
Well, I think it's dying anyway.
Has he been in four? He's done four already?
This is his fourth one. Yeah, I've already heard rumors that it's going to be his last one.
What was the second one? Skyfall was three. Spectre was four. Casino Royale was one. Oh, it was Quantum of Solace.
Oh, yes. The Casino Royale, the first one, it was supposed to be a spoof. I just looked it up on IMDb. It says a aging Sir James Bond comes out of retirement to take on Smersh. S-M-E-R-S-H. Smersh.
You know who leads Smersh in that movie?
Mm-mm.
Woody Allen.
Was it? I'll be damned.
Woody Allen's the bad guy.
Hmm. Vesper Lynd?
It's early Woody Allen, like Sleeper.
Yeah.
Woody Allen. Take the money and run, Woody Allen. Not,
there you
not
go.
The new overly intellectual Woody Allen.
Yes. Jimmy Bond. Interesting.
Jimmy Bond.
French there. Interesting.
I need some sleep. All right, I got nothing else other than to say that I generally liked Bond movies, no matter how goofy they might have gotten, like during the Roger Moore era.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I've never read a single one of the books.
I haven't either. My friend of mine's a big fan.
Given this.
Yeah, I don't know. He probably won't like it either. I bet you it's a lot more like the books, though, from just what I've heard. But anyway, that's about it here. Murray still hasn't seen Star Wars. We were talking about that in the pre-show.
No, I have not.
But you got plenty of snacks, though, right?
I'm sorry, what?
You got plenty of snacks, though, right?
I'm snacked up, absolutely.
Well, that's the most important thing right there. Okay, well, as always...
Yeah, if you don't have the foresight to bring your own damn snacks, then... You shouldn't be going to the movies anyhow because they're going to charge you an arm and a leg.
Well, you got a point there, man. Got a point.
Sneak them in if you have to. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what we're talking about. My bad. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. This is an updated version of the theme. We'll play as we leave. As always, you can send a email to podcast@tellsfromthelongbox.com. Join us on the Facebook page. And let us know what you think there, or you can comment on the actual episodes. And tell us what you think there. And that's about it for this week. We are out.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. If this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live a let die.